just a demanded that I should die. But grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, oh no. We've already paid the price. You see, I once was blind. But thank God I can see. It was because grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Ah, your grace brought me through. I'm living this moment. I'm living this moment.
Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
And if it's possible that we can be full of God, we ought to be aiming for the fullness, to get filled up with all that God is. And you're going to see, I'm going to break this down in a practical way for you. But I want you to know that Satan, through deception and ignorance, works overtime to put stuff in us, to fill us with who he is, to fill us with his values, his philosophies, his attitudes, his beliefs, all of that. He's working overtime trying to get stuff in you. And that's what I like about Jesus, because right before he got ready to go to the cross, he said, the prince of this world cometh, but he have nothing in me. Satan could look at him and say, I don't see nothing in him look like me. He tried and tried and tried to get Jesus to accept a part of him. And Jesus wouldn't do it. And he didn't do it. And Jesus was filled with the fullness. He had the fullness. He was filled with it. And so we have to be careful that we don't fall to the temptations that Satan will bring into our life that are designed to fill our life with evil, ungodly desires and attitudes, philosophies and mindsets that ultimately bring destruction, pain, sorrow and misery. And catch this here, or temporal satisfaction and pleasure. Because all evil don't bring pain, not immediate. There's some sin that bring a lot of pleasure to you, but it's temporal. It's got an end. That's what makes sin so deceptive, is that you can fall in it and think that you done beat sin. I was sharing with a young man last night. I said, there's no way that you can ever beat sin. Don't ever kid yourself and think that you can sin and get away with it and not repent and it ain't going to have no effect on your life. You're never going to beat sin. Hallelujah. But we do have the antidote for it, and it's the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood Jesus shed. Hallelujah. The Bible specifically mentions people who have fallen into the deadly trap and grasp of Satan and manifest the following characteristics. For instance, Satan filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Didn't it? Peter asked him, say, why have Satan filled your heart to lie? What about Judas? Satan filled him with disloyalty and betrayal. And you could go on and on about all the things that I got scriptures out of the Bible where it talks about people filled with strife and confusion and wrath, filled with hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus said that about the Pharisees. He said, you're filled with hypocrisy and iniquity and uncleanness. You're full of extortion and excess and dead men's bones. Paul looked at Elymas the sorcerer and he said, you're filled with subtlety and mischief. That don't glorify God. How about being filled with cursing and bitterness, filled with lying and deception, deceiving and being deceived? Jesus said, full of ravening. He said that about the Pharisees, evil purposes and desires. You can be full of anger or rage. You can be full of fear. You ever met anybody full of fear? Oh, full of fear, full of doubt, full of unbelief. You can be filled with unsanctified, unholy desires. You can have desires that are just evil and wicked. And Satan will fill you with those things if you let him. You can be filled with false hope, false salvation. At one time, I was filled with a false salvation. You know what false salvation is? It's when you ain't saved and you think you are. I thought I was saved because I went to church every Sunday. Because I was raised in church. Because I knew a few Bible scriptures. Because I believed Jesus was raised from the dead. I said I believed all that. But you know what? I didn't repent of my sins. See, the gospel says repent and believe the gospel. Now people telling people just come and do a confession of faith and go on back and don't change. And them people ain't saved. They ain't saved when they come to say, I confess, I receive Jesus. And they go back and they ain't changed. They ain't made no commitment in their heart. They just say, I'm going to heaven now. I tell them they better repent. You better change. You come to get Jesus. The gospel say, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is still a part of the gospel. You just can't come repeat a prayer and don't repent. That's false salvation. I had it working. Till one day I met Petrie. Michael Petrie. Come side along me, witnessing to me. I say, man, I'm saved. He say, you say? I say, yeah, I'm saved, man. He say, man, you know you got to give your heart to Jesus. I say, man, didn't I tell you I'm saved? Yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. I'm saved, man. He kept on. I said, man, you ain't got to witness to me. I told you I'm saved. He wouldn't shut up. And we was over there in the triangle. I said, I'll be at Jones Hall in a little bit. And said, just go ahead and let him talk. And I just said, ain't no talking to him. He act like he ain't even hear me. He talking to me like I ain't saved, which I wasn't. But I didn't know I wasn't saved. But let me tell you what happened to me. We got back in Jones Hall in the foyer. He went toward the desk, to the glass there. And I turned toward to go to the elevator. I believe the Holy Ghost spun me around. And I looked at Michael Petrie. I didn't even know his name. I looked at him, and I saw beams of light coming out of him. I saw Jesus in him. Now, I'm not saying he was a perfect man, but I know he was a child of God. I saw light coming out of him about 4 or 5 feet all around him. I saw the glory in him. I said, and I looked and I said, that man got God in him. I said, look at that man that got God in him. I said, that's Jesus I'm looking at. And then I realized, I say, I ain't got the same one he got. I said, I ain't got the same Jesus he got. My Jesus let me boogie woogie on Friday night. My Jesus let me go out and party, hardy, and then get up and leave youth devotion on Sunday morning. My Jesus let me do what I feel like whenever I get ready. But I saw that day, I said, I ain't got the same one. And I got on the elevator, I went back to my room, and I sat down, and I say, I ain't saved. No more. I say, for the first time in my life, I got dead meat. I am not saved. If I die now, I'm going to hell. You never know the power of your testimony when you are filled with that fullness.
Glory to God.
Now, he had some fullness now. He had a measure of that fullness in him. I don't know what degree it was, but it was something because I saw something in him, and it was enough to make him come talk to me. Because the Lord can talk and say, go talk to somebody. Oh, Lord, I ain't going to say nothing. I don't. What if they don't accept me? Where your fullness at?
Yeah.
He had something working. And you know what? Michael Petrie never witnessed to me again. But every time I saw him on campus, I would watch him and say, that's the real one. I'd nickname it, the real one. I say, that's the real one right there. There you go. I'd see him on the other side of the sidewalk. I'd watch how he walk. I say, that's the real one. Let me see how he walk. And I'd watch. I say, I want to say, that man got God in him. That's a real one. That's a real Christian right there. Let me see how he walk. If I saw him in the cafeteria, I'd watch how he eat everything. I say, let me see how he hold his fork. He a real one. He was talking to me every time I saw him without opening his mouth. You can be filled with darkness. Satan would want to do that to you. And I'm going to tell you that one scripture that will just a catch-all. I call it a catch-all scripture. Look at Romans chapter 1. Then we're going to get into this other right here. We're going to get into this fullness of God. But I just want to show you the other side, that if you're not careful, Satan will put things in you and he'll fill your life with all the things that don't glorify God. He'll have you running after stuff, doing things you ain't got no business doing, and you'll be thinking you're doing the will of God, because that's what deception is when you believe a lie. If he can keep you ignorant, either he had to keep you from knowing the truth, or after you know the truth, he got to pull you away from it.
Yeah.
Romans 1, look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Look at this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, listen to this, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you can see here that you can be filled with a lot of stuff that's not God. And if it's possible for you to be filled with all unrighteousness, like this scripture say, he said, being filled with all unrighteousness. If it's possible for a man to live that way, then it's possible for a man to be filled with righteousness, the fruits of righteousness. Amen? Praise God. I just thank God. Many people live and die and never realize their full potential in God and end up with a life filled with disappointment, regret, and sometimes shame because of the poor choices and wasted opportunities that have been given to them by God. Some people end up shipwrecked. But it is God's plan that you experience life to the full, that you be filled with all of his fullness. Hallelujah. He wants you to be filled with all of his fullness. Hallelujah. Now, what is being filled with all the fullness of God? Let me just give you a few things. I'm not telling you that I wrote the book on this and nothing. I don't. And I'm just really scratching the surface, but I can tell you a little bit what I do know. But I'm sure that there's a lot more that I don't. But being filled with all the fullness, what is it? It is having a